Today is our last Sunday before our Friends and Family Week. How has everyone been doing with talking to or inviting your friends, family, neighbors to church? All right. Have you had opportunities to speak with your friends and families about Jesus? All right. If you haven't had those opportunities so far, don't be discouraged. Hold on a second. I got to rearrange a little bit here. Okay. Because if you remember what we talked about a couple of weeks ago, sharing Jesus with others is a lifestyle and not an event. So if we remain willing and faithful, opportunities will come up for us to share Christ with others. Friday, I had the opportunity. I've been trying since Manchester Day to meet with one of the local pastors in our area, Pastor Joe, who is the pastor at Building on the Rock. It is a Christian Missionary Alliance, which is very similar to what we believe in the Assemblies of God. And I had the opportunity to meet with him for coffee Friday late afternoon. We had some time to talk and get to know each other. And what I found interesting and kind of points to the fact that we are on track with what God is doing in our community. Pastor Joe is a vice principal in the Manchester High School. This is actually his first year, if I understood correctly, being a vice principal. He was a teacher before in the district. And so part of his role as vice principal and administration is they get to see all the demographics of the students that they have. And they see the demographics of the population of Manchester. One of the growing demographics of Manchester is those who speak Spanish as their first language. It's actually one of the things that they're trying to better prepare the school system for, because in the following years, that number will grow. So their church has come to the realization that they need to do something to include that portion of their community, because we're called to minister to our community. And so they're talking about having English as a second language classes and things like that. And I spoke to him about how we're trying to provide some kind of translation services, so if somebody comes, they can follow along too. So this is something that is, God is up to something here. You know, the fact that there are multiples of us who are noticing this, the need in our community for that. So, you know, next week, anybody who wants to come, there's no reason why anyone should feel like they can't come, whether it's through language barriers or through it's just maybe they haven't been in church forever or have never been in a church. Invite them out because they are welcomed. Today we're going to talk about salt and light. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before everyone. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Our role as a church here in Whiting is to be salt in light. Literally, two of the reasons as an Assemblies of God church that we believe we exist is to be salt and light. This is right from our 16 fundamental truths. Number one, to be an agency of God for evangelizing the world. If the church ain't doing it, who is? Number two, to be a corporate body in which we may worship together, which is what we are doing this morning. Three, to be a channel of God's purposes in building a body of saints, being perfected in the image of his son. In other words, disciple people, train people how to live the Christian life. And number four, to be a people who demonstrate God's love and compassion for all the world. Number one and four, or about the church's purpose, is not just for ourselves. The church exists to be a light and salt in the world. According to the scripture, we are to be God's agency of evangelization and to demonstrate God's love and compassion. This is an important part of our purpose here in Whiting and Manchester. Let's be honest. We are in the middle of retirement communities. Many people who live in these communities don't have a lot of time left. If we are not doing our best to reach them, then who do we think is going to do that? We are called to be salt and light, so that others may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. So let's talk about being salt and light this morning. Salt. You are the salt of the earth. And I read this already, but I'm going to read it again. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. I talked about us being salt before. And if you remember, I used an illustration of an egg and putting salt on the egg. Without the salt, it's just kind of bland, right? But the salt adds some flavor. Salt can only do its work of adding flavor to something by coming in contact with that something. In other words, if I have a hard-boiled egg here and salt here, I can shake the salt over here all I want, and it's not going to help the egg taste better. Right? The salt has to come in contact with the egg. I know the world has changed a lot over the course of your lifetime. It has changed a lot over the course of my lifetime. I didn't have cell phones as a kid. Most of you didn't have cell phones for 90% of your life. I remember the day we got cable television. And we had the box, and you had to turn the dial. But there was like 100 channels on that dial. You know who got forced to turn that dial all the time where everybody sat, right? Me. I was the youngest one in the family. So it was like, trying to turn that thing, right? I know that things that we thought were unthinkable morally is now a normal part of everyday culture. And I know that our gut instinct is to withdraw from the world because it's strange. Because they believe and promote things that we don't believe in, that we find to be sinful. It's easy to want to avoid contact with a world that seems so foreign. But guess what? That's not our purpose. We can't add flavor to the world if we're over here and the world is over here. We have to have contact with the world. We are called to engage the world and to role model Jesus Christ, to preach Jesus, to instill the gospel message into other people's lives. We were never promised an easy life as Christians. Actually, it's the opposite. Jesus kind of promised that people would hate us. And being hated is pretty uncomfortable. Have you ever felt like you were hated by somebody? It's pretty uncomfortable. But seeing a life that we had contact with transformed by the gospel is more rewarding than any discomfort. So salt adds savoriness. You know what else salt does? It preserves. This aspect of salt was so important in ancient times, this preservation, because in the ancient world, Jesus didn't have a refrigerator, okay? He couldn't go to the gas station and pick up a bag of ice. How many of you were worried with the hurricane coming that you were going to lose power and lose the food in your refrigerator? I remember when Sandy came through and power was out for, I don't know how long for us. 7 days? 11 days for us. We, you know, threw as much ice in there, whatever. I wish we had salt then. Well, we did, but I didn't know what to do with it. Salt was so important to the ancient world that literally there were wars fought over salt. Did you know that? In 1304, there was a war fought in Italy over salt. Texas in the 1800s had a war over controlling salt flats. And all throughout Europe, there were uprisings against some of the salt taxes. Why? Because its preservation ability and character was so important for people to be able to survive. So you see, what happens is salt draws out the water and food. In doing so, it prevents and kills bad bacteria from growing. Because bacteria needs warm, wet places to grow, right? So if the salt draws out that moisture, it helps to prevent that bacteria growth. And so food wouldn't spoil as quickly. It would last much longer. We are called to be a source of preservation to the world. To present the gospel to people as a way that they can be purified from the things that corrupt and lead to death. The ultimate preservation of human life isn't found in medical aid. It's not found in humanitarian aid. Those things are really important. Don't get me wrong. Please go to the doctor if you need to. In fact, some of you, when you've called and said you're not feeling well, I've said you need to go to the doctor. Go to the doctor. It's important. But what's really important is that we're salt and we preserve life by leading them to Christ. Amen. You know, there's an appointment that we're all going to face one day. And no matter how good your doctor is, you're not going to escape this appointment. It's the appointment we have when God calls us home, where we face our eternal reward, whether that be eternal life or separation from God, whatever that may be. For those that have received the gospel message and placed their faith in Jesus Christ, death is only the transition from this world into eternal life. When we are salt, we have the opportunity to play a part in someone going from physical death to eternal life. You know what else salt does? It causes thirst. How many of you prefer sweets? I'm not going to tell your doctor. How many of you prefer salt? Salty. How many of you like sweet and salty? If it's there, give it to me. Do you know what I had one time? And you might think it's gross, but it was really good. I had ice cream, and in the ice cream was chocolate-covered potato chips. It was good. It was made by Ben & Jerry's. Just saying. You know what the thing is about salty snacks, though? Is that you need something to go with them to drink. Right? Whether it be water or soda, if you're a soda addict, or I don't know what else you have, juice. Because the way that salt draws water and moisture out of the body, after we eat something salty, it makes us really thirsty. In fact, the other day, and I don't know if you remember these, but I ran over to Wawa and I bought a pack of combos. Do you know what those are? They're pretzels stuffed with cheese. And the sodium level is disgusting in them. And I ate them and I loved them. But I had to have a big bottle of water to be chugging down because they were so salty. If we are living as salt in the world, we're going to make people thirsty for what we have. We should be living our lives in such a way that we make people thirsty for God. If on the regular part of our life, if we're souring people, turning people off from being interested in God, we're doing it wrong. Now, there's always going to be people who reject the gospel message. And there's always going to be people who are hostile towards the gospel message. But let's let them be hostile towards the gospel message because it brings conviction. Let's make it so they're not hostile towards the gospel message because we've left something to be desired in our contact with them. Let's live in such a way, a lifestyle of having something that the world wants that makes them thirsty for what you have. Be that kind of salt. You know what was interesting about this verse? Oh, I'm going to back it up. Is it says, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? You know what I thought to myself? How does salt stop being salty? In the ancient world, they didn't have the same technology we have today to purify water. And one of the ways that they would harvest salt is they would make these shallow pools of water that, as the ocean lapped up its waves, it would catch in these shallow pools, and then the sun would bake the water and evaporate the water, and what would be left behind would be the crystals, the salt crystals. The only thing is, those salt crystals weren't pure salt. It had impurities of other minerals, and contaminants that were in the water. So when the water evaporated, the salt crystals would be a mixture of salt and these other minerals. So what would happen is that over time, the sodium content, the sodium chloride content of those crystals would leach out, either from moisture or just for other reasons. And the remaining crystals would be all mineral instead of containing that salt aspect. That, and then that crystal would have no salty flavor to them because the sodium was all gone. So it would become worthless. And it would be literally thrown on the ground and used just to harden up the ground a little bit in areas around the house. Let's not let the saltiness of our life be leached from us by the things of this world. Sin, anger, bitterness, callousness, apathy, resentment, all those things, self-righteousness, all those things draw the saltiness out of us and make us worthless to the world. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. The world is a dark place. Sin, hopelessness, sickness, death, depression, betrayal. I think we all know people who have been affected by the darkness of this world. People who have felt hopeless. People who have felt like they were empty. But do you know what light does? It pushes back the darkness. During his time here on earth, Jesus was the light. John 1, 4 through 7, or 4 through 5, sorry. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I love that verse. John 8, 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. During Jesus' three and a half years or so of ministry here on earth, he was a light in the darkness. He shone the glory of God to people. But we all know that after his resurrection, he ascended to heaven. And he left the church to continue to shine his light in the world. Talking a lot, I'm using this phrase a lot today. In ancient times, a city could be seen from miles away. And it could still happen today unless there's so much haze and, you know, you ever tried to see New York City on a bad day? But a city could be seen from miles away. And even at night, you know, and especially at night, because what would happen is the lamps would be lit up in people's houses, and they didn't have all the same drapes and curtains and windows and all that we got. So they would be lit, and they would be put up in high places in their house so it could cast light down. And so cities would be visible. Many ancient cities, particularly in the Middle East, were built on what are called tells, T-E-L-S. A tell are artificial mountains and mounds that were formed because when a city was raided and destroyed and a new city was built on top of it, what would happen is these natural mounds would begin to grow. In fact, today, a lot of times in the Middle East, archaeologists will go to these raised areas that don't have a lot going on it and start to dig and excavate to find the cities that are buried underneath, because they recognize, oh, this is a mound. This probably has some kind of remains of cities that have been built on it year after year. As the new city was built on top of these tells or these mountains or hills, it would be elevated. And so because of their elevated nature, many cities would be very easy to be seen from a distance because they would be up, they would be lit at night, and people could see them from far away. We are called to be a light that draws tired and weary travelers to a place of refuge. The church should be a light. That scripture says, a light on a hill can't be hidden. We shouldn't try to hide the light of Jesus Christ just to be polite and likable. We need to shine brightly because the world needs a light leading them to a place of refuge in Jesus Christ. And once again, if we don't do it, who will? Matthew 5:14 through 16. Part of this verse says, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. All right, I'm about to find out how many of you went to children's church. There you go. Put up your light. All right, and we used to sing it like this. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Apparently, my singing is so bad it doesn't translate it into Spanish. Who in their right mind would take and waste oil in their lamp by lighting it, putting it up, and then covering it so that it wouldn't give any light to anybody? That's nonsense. Jesus did not give us salvation and establish his church so we could hide under a bushel. The purpose of a lamp is to spread light, enabling others to see what they're doing and where they're going. The church is to be a light. Amen. We shouldn't hide ourselves. I get it. I get it that the world sometimes can be hostile to Christians. I fully understand that. I understand that to walk around and say you're a Christian means that we're inviting people to not like us anymore. It used to be different. It used to be that people would go to the church when they needed answers. It used to be if you were from a church and established in a church, they would think, wow, you're somebody respectable. But it's not that way anymore in the world, is it? They see somebody from the church and they're like, oh, you're one of those. But guess what? We need to shine a light in such a way that they say, hey, he's a bright point in my life. Let me find out what makes him shine like that. Let's find out why she shines like that. We need to be a light. I know it's easy to hide because it's just easier. I know in polite conversation you don't talk about religion or politics. But we are called to be a light. Jesus said the mission of the church is to be a light, and you are the church. These four walls are not the church. You are the church, and your mission is to shine for Jesus. It's not just my mission as your pastor. It's your mission because you have been transformed by Jesus Christ and you are his disciple. Amen. Our very nature as the church is to lead people to Christ. Shine bright, people. Shine bright. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. Don't hide under a bowl. The world needs to know that there is someone who can transform their lives. The world needs to know that God is real and that all the scandals that have happened in the world within celebrity pastors is not an accurate representation of who God is. We need to show them who God is. Be salt and be light. Make them thirsty and then lead them the way to the water of life. We've spent the last month talking about reaching our neighbors, our families, and friends. Today, I'm wrapping up that section by encouraging you to be salt and to be light. Add flavor, add preservative, so to speak. Shine brightly. And let's lead the way to Christ. Because the world needs it. We ended last week with a time of prayer where we placed names of our loved ones on the altar. Could we just end with some prayer again for our family, friends, and loved ones? Can we pray for next week's service that God would draw those that you've invited and that the Spirit of God moves in this place, not so that we can pat ourselves on the back, but so that lives are transformed for the glory of God. Let's pray. Jesus. Jesus, Lord, you are worthy. Lord, we thank you for your word because once again, Lord God, as we read your word, you speak to us. You show us how to live. Lord, I ask as we just ponder the scripture, salt and light, that you would help us to be salt and light to our community, to our family, to our friends, Lord. Father, help us. Empower us by the Holy Spirit to be witnesses of you, Lord. Father God, I pray for all of the names that we put on this altar last week. Every person, Lord God, that you laid on our heart that we want to see come to salvation. Father God, I don't have the cards in front of me to list and name everyone by name, but God, you know those names. And so I'm asking that in every life that was represented by one of those note cards, by every life that is represented by us here today, to God, you would bring them to a point of salvation. Father, would you save our loved ones? Would you save our family? Would you save our neighbors, Lord God? Father God, would you save our friends? Father, would their hearts just be fertile soil? Lord God, would the gospel seed be planted in them? Use us, Father God, to speak into their life, Father God. Provide us with the opportunities, the divine appointments to be a light in their life, to be salt in their life, Father God. Lord God, I ask that those seeds would be watered and that they would give forth fruit and a harvest, Father God, of souls. Father God, I pray that we would be faithful to live in such a way before them and before the world to be salt and light, that we would attract people to you, Lord God. Lord God, I ask next week that you would fill every seat in this place, Lord. I pray that our loved ones, our family, our friends, our neighbors, Father God, would be drawn here. I pray that, Father God, there may be others who drive by and see the sign out front that we're having a Friends and Family Sunday, that see that we're trying to do the Spanish translation. And I pray that, Father God, that you would draw people in. Father God, I pray that you would move in our services, Lord God. And that, Lord, more than anything, that hearts would encounter you and that people would be set free. Amen. Lord God, use us. Father, we do thank you for this time. And we do thank you for the word. Lord, would you be exalted in our community and be glorified? Use us, O Lord. I pray that as we go out this week, Lord, that you would anoint us to be light. That, Lord, you would bring us into contact with those divine appointments. I pray that your hand of protection would be on us as we drive and travel, as we do all of our errands. And, Father God, would you just guide and lead us? May we experience your blessings, Father. And, Lord, may we just know you more. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.